Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community in the number of folks engaged in community serving. Today, we have folks from the Local 2020 organization, which is a conglomerate of action groups working towards sustainability and resiliency through action and education. This organization has several action groups ranging from emergency preparedness to healthy living. And in this two-part episode, we are speaking with volunteers from Climate Action Group and the Transportation Lab. Welcome.
And thank you.
Today, Cindy Jane, or is it Janie?
Jane.
Cindy Jane is representing the Climate Action Group, and David Tilk is here from T-Lab, or Transportation Lab. Now, thank you both for making some time to come in here today. Cindy, if you wouldn't mind, could you help our listeners understand the larger picture of what we call Local 2020, how it came to be, and what is it?
Sure, I'd be happy to, and thanks for having us today. Yeah, very briefly, Local 2020 is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization focused strictly on Jefferson County. Lots of great work and lots of needs across the country, but our focus is very much local, very much Jefferson County. And we do this focused on both sustainability and resiliency in Jefferson County and really operate through our action groups. I mean, those are the feet on the street that are doing the work. We've got over 12 different action groups currently operating in everything from waste to food to climate to energy, you know, wide gamut, emergency preparedness, a wide gamut of action groups. And they really operate very independently. It's a very bottom-up type of structure where they each determine their own focus based on where the passions of those individuals are and work to do both action and education in those areas.
I can imagine that would have one feeling very impactful if it's from the bottom up, if, as the organization is defined. So you have, you mentioned 12 action groups, if you will. Now, is Local 2020 something that's a national franchise that was then made into a local?
Right. Good question. So, yeah, it started back in 2006, and it was actually inspired when a speaker from Willits, California came and talked about what they were doing to really organize and work at the neighborhood level on emergency preparedness and disaster preparedness, which to them meant everything from preparing for earthquakes to also preparing for things like, you know, peak oil and fossil fuels running out. So they took that broad approach to work at the neighborhood level, and Local 2020 founders, which I was not one of one, but were able to take that and build a local version of that. We did eventually join what's called the Transition Network, and there's Transition
Towns. I saw that on your website. Uh-huh. I wasn't quite understanding how does help me understand the connection to that Transition Network.
Right, and it's very similar to Local 2020. There's been organizations around the world that actually started in England and Ireland that have done the same thing, initially from the peak oil thing when there's concerns about fossil fuels running out, mm-hmm. and looking how do we handle that. Then it grew to really be focused on climate change as well, and really the same thing, kind of local sustainability and resiliency. So it's a broader network. And we've got websites. One of our members, Richard Dandridge, keeps in touch with them and operates at the national level somewhat, sharing ideas. But pretty much every group is focused locally, but we just try to learn from what others are doing across the world.
And David, as you understand it, you became involved with the Transportation Lab. Were you the person who brought their passion to the 2020, Local 2020, or was there an existing group?
No, actually, there was a group already, Cindy mentioned Richard Dandridge, so he was involved with the Transportation Lab. I'm not sure what the original name was. Was it Transportation Lab?
I think
so. And so, but I think they were kind of, it was a small group, and about 2 years ago, my time became a little bit more flexible for myself. So I joined that group, and we talked. The very first conversation we had when I came into that group was, well, I want to talk about culture in this group. I was not really interested in joining a group that just wanted to talk amongst themselves.
Tell me more about what that means, culture
is the way that a group of people interact together, the ways they have fun together, the ways that they do work, the kinds of work that they do, the ways they celebrate their accomplishments. And so for me, to join the group, I said, let's talk about culture. It was actually kind of a novel idea. The handful of folks who were in there said, what do you mean by culture? Just mm-hmm. like you mm-hmm. just asked. And mm-hmm. I talked about that. And so we kind of and if you hadn't really thought about or self-reflected about culture in a group, it may be hard to come up with some ideas of what it's all about. But they said, what do you mean by that? So we talked about it. And so right away, we decided to plan for a rather large community forum on transportation. That was a culture that I wanted to go for, as a community-based outreach activism type of a culture in which we did more than sort of feed each other ideas. We actually helped create some excitement beyond our group.
You know, I think this is a fantastic suggestion on so many levels. The understanding of culture, I would almost want to interchange group dynamic, but as an individual looking for volunteer opportunities, that is a great point to start. What is the culture of the group that I'm engaging with? What do I hope to get out of it? Sometimes folks have different goals that aren't aligned. And secondly, you talked about education, which I think is one of the commonalities I see in all the action groups is in terms of your efforts, it's outreach and education. And education as an individual volunteer might be on a smaller scale. And you were introducing for the first time to the group a larger notion of a forum, which, Cindy, I think is pretty fantastic when you think about the many ways a action group can put feet on its priorities. Could you talk a little bit, I think, of climate? Is it Climate Action Group? Is that how it's referred?
Yeah.
It that's so large. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could have its own little wheel. As you look at the local 2020, you have different sectors. And in fact, there's energy. And I thought, well, does that fall under climate action? So talk to me about the areas of focus that the Climate Action Group is wedded to.
Yeah, it's a great point. And in fact, the Climate Action Group has two halves because it in itself is too big. It has a group focused on outreach, which is primarily focused on reducing greenhouse gases and helping educate the community and others as to how to best go about that. And also on preparing for climate impacts, because that's a very different beast. But how can we be aware of what climate change is going to, how it's going to influence Jefferson County, and how we all as a community can help prepare? So because they're so different, we split those into two different groups. But of course, sometimes the outreach group helps with outreach on educating the community on preparing for impacts. So there's overlap as well. But you're totally right that really, I think every action group within Local 2020 has something to do with climate change, because local food, waste reduction, certainly energy, transportation, every one of them has a climate aspect. So it really filters through all the action groups, but the climate group just tries to focus on that specifically.
It is such a wide organization. It's lovely that the action group can really target their efforts. Now, when you talk about the resiliency in preparing for climate change, mm-hmm. what are some of the examples of what your volunteers or your organization does to actually move the community?
Right. Well, one of the things we did a few years ago is coordinated with other partners across the community to put on a workshop on sea level rise for local businesses. Because we could all look at Water Street and say, okay, what's that going to look like in 50 years from now, 100 years from now? And how do we as a community start to wrap our arms around about that and think about what we need to do differently going forward? So that was an opportunity to educate the business owners, who of course have financial investments in that area, mm-hmm. and say, you know, here's mm-hmm. the different projections, you know, think about how that's going to impact your long-term business plan and other sorts of things, and just get their start to raise their understanding and help them think about that piece.
So you hosted a forum. And then mm-hmm. on the outreach side, what are some of the efforts that the action group is involved with?
Uh-huh. So one of the big things we did a few years ago to help focus on greenhouse gas reduction is we held a Taming Bigfoot carbon footprint contest across the county. So it was team-based, which was kind of fun. We had very diverse teams. They had specific makeups that included different types of individuals across the county. And they were competing against each other for wonderful prizes offered by local businesses.
What a great thing.
Yeah, to reduce their overall team carbon footprint. And it's really, I think it really raised awareness and it was eye-opening to a number of people to see what were the big things that that drove their
carbon footprint. So you made it fun and not so daunting. Mm-hmm. I like the notion of that. There's something that we can do. Little things all add up to greater things. Mm-hmm. Now, didn't this event get picked up by another community or Seattle area? It was a pretty wonderful idea.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it is now being done in Edmonds and in Seattle currently. And Bob Binshather has been our ambassador who really drove it here and now has helped other communities do the same. And we have, in fact, anyone can participate even today because we have the carbon footprint calculator that was used for that online on our website so people can look and see how their carbon footprint compares to the teams and what had happened previously.
So, David, as we talk about our action groups, it sounds like there's a really large activities going on with the climate action. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with transportation, also known as TLAB.
Right. So some of the things we've done, at least since I've been involved with the group, is that we started out with a fairly large, I think for the topic at hand, I think there was about 70 people that attended that community forum. And in my naivete, I assumed that I would be able to facilitate a discussion to take people to new places, but people came in to vent. We just had to let that happen. It was really interesting how we had no idea that we were not the only ones in the community that were concerned about transportation issues. So the first meeting was good in many ways, but also it was a surprise to me.
So pent-up demand for awareness, pent-up demand for services. Vent is a strong word.
Particularly around transit. It was really, I would say 80% of the discussion was people's had frustrations with the transit, the Jefferson Transit System, and having access to public transportation services, but also a lot of discussion around bicycle safety and feeling safe, as well as pedestrian and ADA.
Compliance
and things like that. So we didn't move past so much to the venting. But it was really great. We got a lot of folks interested in, and we had several follow-up meetings since then. In August, I believe, last year, we focused specifically on bicycle issues. Mm. And how we arranged that meeting was we brought in large maps we got from the city engineering, and we laid them out on tables. And people came in, and they were able to make notes on sticky notes, write comments on sticky notes, and spread them
like
on
a
the maps.
Focus group kind
areas
of setup.
Where areas that they used. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say, well, this is a route that I use, or this is where I have concerns, or this particular issue comes up for me. And so it's a very hands-on type of an activity where people came in. I think there was about 30 people for that meeting. And we compiled all of that information first into a spreadsheet, and then I followed up with a summary report. And we have sent that to city engineering and city councilors, as well as the Non-Motorized Transportation Advisory Board. They have all that data now that highlights key intersections and bike lanes or places where there are no bike lanes, speed limit issues, and so forth. So that was a second stage of that.
So this data was received by the city, and the partnership is part of what you do to help shape policy or speak to political positioning of those resources.
Yeah, I think in some ways we're a little bit different than the Climate Action Group because we have, that's been our goal, is to really focus on building a community around, I don't know if the right word is pressure or not, but encouraging city leadership to change policies that make active transportation a higher priority than they have.
Well, if they don't know, and you gave them some numbers to help them understand the urgency.
Yeah. It's really interesting, since I am talking about this right now, is the city also, every 3 or 4 years, collects speed data in town. So they had a whole series of data that was collected between, I think, something like October and February of this last winter. So I've asked for all that data, too. It's really interesting. And I sent it on to City Council and the Non-Motorized Board because I don't think they ever really see the data. We are a very fast-driving community. We have a culture of speed in our 25-mile-an-hour speed limit zones. So that's probably what we're doing, is helping feedback and reflect back to those that are in those positions to advise, to make decisions about transportation, what's going on here.
Yeah. Well, today we're talking with the folks from Local 2020, specifically action groups involved with climate and transportation. David, if you could help a listener understand a way that they might begin to engage, what are some of the components of being involved with your action group, and how might they reach out to you?
Our action group is fairly small group of people, although we have an email list, and depending on the topic, we'll have more or less attend our meetings. But they can reach out to myself, Scott Walker, or Richard Dandridge. I think Richard Dandridge would be contactable through the local 2020
and the website or email address is. Do you have that by chance? Cindy?
Yes, so l2020.org is our website, and if you go to the contact page, you'll find the contacts for every action group that we have, so that's a great way to get in contact with people.
And I didn't mean to cut you off, David, but we want to make sure, sure we can get that information to our listeners so they can reach you through that website, and you have an email address on that site?
Yes, yes.
Excellent,
and
excellent.
Then, we have at least a first Tuesday meeting. And frequently, about every 2 weeks, we meet. But at least the first Tuesday of every month, we meet to strategize and talk about next steps.
And Cindy, with your group, would you or either group, David or Cindy, you could both answer this. Does it make sense to attend the steering committee to get a global overlook at all of the groups? Or would you suggest that people pop into an area of passion and target their group?
Yeah, it's a great question. And people do both. You know, there's some that just want to see the overview of the organization and they'll show up at a steering committee meeting. Mm-hmm. Some that have a passion about a particular area and so they'll focus on that action group, and either way is fine. I should say too, if you go to the website and go to the calendar page, you can find out about all the local 2020 meetings that are happening, and that's an easy way to see, you know, where and when the next one's coming up. And we encourage people. Some people should, you know, go to four or five different action group meetings from the different groups and see what's going on and think about where they want to focus and where their passion is. So we encourage people to explore and see what fits them best.
Well, we have a few moments left to our program today. I'd like to give you the opportunity to speak to anything that's coming up in the hopper that you'd like folks to know about. And perhaps you could help us understand what is the essence of what you would like folks to know about participating in your group. You spoke about a really welcoming culture and that you sounds like you do a lot of talking about how you want to identify your organization, you being David. But do you have something coming up in the pipeline that maybe folks might be called to participate in? Yes, David.
Well, I think one thing that we've just built a concept around, we're just starting to implement, is and to encourage the city to try new things that they might not normally consider. We're going to start proposing what's called pop-up demonstrations, and that means when we were thinking about infrastructure in a roadway or a street or something, oftentimes the plans are made by the engineers and then they're sort of implemented. But there, but many communities, it's more common for the community, the neighborhood itself, to say, "Let's do a temporary restructuring of this intersection."
Oh, fascinating.
And we'll see what it looks like. So we'll put in some temporary blocks or curbs, maybe some temporary striping.
And so that's the kind of demonstration you're talking about.
It's a demonstration.
A
and so
demo,
then, and
not,
you educate the community. You get input from all the neighborhood, the neighbors that are there, and people that might be using it as cyclists or pedestrians or automobile drivers. And you try it out. And then you collect some data. And then you go back to your city engineering department and say, okay, here's what we learned from this. Can we implement it as it was or part of it?
Sounds like a cost-saving measure that could be welcomed.
Yeah, so it's a way to, again, to build community around change. We're a really new community in many ways. We're so many newcomers to Port Townsend. So we don't know each other. And so what better way to come together around urban projects.
What a great plug for volunteerism, too, right?
Yeah.
A great way to get involved. And Cindy, anything in the pipeline for your group?
Well, an interesting thing that we're working on. So we partner with the city-county formal climate action committee. And one of the things that they are looking at for 2019 is to redo the inventory of greenhouse gases across the county. And so Local 2020 will help partner with the city and county on that effort and be looking at digging into all this information about how much gas are we burning and how much electricity are we using. So I think that'll be a fun project for people to get involved with and help pull all that information together and
excellent.
Look at the total rollout.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you again for making the time to come in and talk with us about Local 2020. You've certainly demystified this organization for me a bit.
Thank you.
And we could go on and on. And we will have a second episode featuring two more action groups in the future. Thank you, David Tilk and Cindy Jane, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our sound engineer is Jared Dufresne, and editing this program is in the expert hands of Jared Dufresne as well. I would like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org.